Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Mem Vav. We are holding on the top of Daf Mem Vav Amar Alf, the second line at the two dots, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, Alina Shmos's mother, Goldva Simcha Shalom, by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlach for our soldiers and captives, they shall all return home safely. Also by Elisheva and Avishai Newman in honor of the birth of their grandson to AJ and Eliza Youngrice. They should be Zoch Lachnis of Briso Shal Avram Avinu Bezmano, Legadlo, Le Torah, Le Chupa, Lemaisim Tov. I think I saw Avishai on the Zoom. We got it, Avishai. Also sponsored by Tzippi and Rabbi Dr. Aaron Ross to mark the yard site of Tzippi's father, Mr. Shlomo Friedman, Shlomo Chaim Aryeh Leib, Ben Shmuel, Nachma Cohen, is that Namchu HaKohen, it says, maybe that's a typo. V'chaya, who is always makbid to give cover to Rabbanim, his yard site is today, in Shemesh Shav and Aliyah. Also, by the virtual halacha program to learn halacha at a high level under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, with an option for smicha, visit vihalacha.com for more information about the new limud beginning next week, learning Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to finish up the fourth paragraph of Maseches Baba Kama with the discussion of what is the source for Rabbi Eliezer, that if you have a sharmuad, you need to shecht it, and that's the only way that you could avoid responsibility for the actions of your sharmuad. Then the new parak is going to have a mishnah where it talks about figuring out payment if a pregnant para either did damage or got damaged. So how do we cheshbin, and we're not sure when the birth happened, so how do we cheshbin in the possibility that it was pregnant at the time of the damage, together with the possibility that the birth already predated the damage. Then the Gemara is going to have two explanations why Hamotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya is considered to be a Klal Gadol Badin, that it's referred to as a Klal Gadol Badin. What makes it such a Klal Gadol Badin? The Gemara is then going to discuss whether a person can claim Mekach Ta'us on a shar that he purchases, and it turns out to be a Nagchan. It turns out to be a shar that has a habit of goring things. Then we're going to talk about what is the source of the principle of Hamotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya. It's a Klal Gadol Badin, but where does it come from? Then the Gemara is going to have two different explanations of what the Mishnah means when it says that you pay Chatzi Nezek from the Para and Revia Nezek from the Vlad. By our calculations, that would turn out to paying 3/4 of the Nezek. A Shartam only pays Chatzi Nezek. So how could that be that you could end up paying 3/4 of the Nezek? So let's begin at the two dots. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein lo Shmira Ela Sakin. So Rabbi Eliezer said the only way to properly be Shomer a sharmuad is by shachting it. So I'm a rabbi, my time is Rabbi Eliezer. What's the basis for Rabbi Eliezer? Because the pasuk says, when it comes to sharmuad, v'lo yishmerenu. Right? It says, v'imshar nagachu mitmol shalshom v'huad bebailov, meaning it's describing a sharmuad, and then the next words are, v'lo yishmerenu. So we're darshaning that that means, shuv ein lo shmiru lezev. V'lo yishmerenu is not saying, and if you don't watch it, this is what's going to happen if it damages. No, it's saying, v'lo yishmerenu. It's a statement of fact that once it's Sharmuad, it's not possible to be Yishmerenu. Velo Yishmerenu, you will never be able to be Shomerit, however much Shmiri you do. And therefore, the only thing you could do is kill it. And that's why, even if you do a Shmiri Me'ula, you're still going to be Chayiv for whatever your Sharmuad does. So Amalei Abaye challenges that possibility. Elameata, if that's a legitimate way to darshan, that when the Torah says Velo Yishmerenu, it means it's a statement of fact, and it's not just a presentation of a case. So then the chsiv, when the pasuk says by a bar v'lo yichasenu nami shuvim l'kisu l'zeh, when it says if you have a bar v'lo yichasenu, does that mean that it's impossible to be mechasa a bar, that no matter what you do to cover a bar, you're always going to be chayiv because it's not possible to do a proper kisui v'chitei machinami? Unless you say, yeah, maybe that's true, maybe it's impossible to be mechasa a bar. But v'atanan, we have a mishnah that says kiso karayim nafal of tochu shor o chamarumeis pater, that if you are mechasa a bar properly, and then something happens, and someone gets a shor chamar falls in the bar, you're pater because you did it properly. So apparently, it is possible to cover a bar properly. So don't tell me lo yichasenu means that it's impossible to be mechasa a bar. And by the same token, don't tell me lo yishmerenu means that it's impossible to be shomer a shor muad. Elo amar Abaye. So Abaye says, "Hayinu tamei de Rabbi Eliezer." This is where Rabbi Eliezer gets his idea that a shor muad can never be properly guarded, and there and therefore must be shechted. Kiditanya, because the Brisa tells us, Rabbi Nosson Omer, minayin shlo yigad aladim kelev rabbi toch beso, how do I know that a person should not raise a vicious dog in his house? Val yamet zulam ru'a b'toch beso, and he shouldn't have a ladder that's unsafe in his house. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, v'lo sasam damim b'vesecha. Right, the rest of the Pasuk is famous about Asiyas Maka. It says, kisiv nabayis chadosh v'asisa maka l'gagecha. When you build a house, you have to make sure you have a maka, and the reason you have to make sure to have a maka is because v'lo sasam damim b'vesecha. You can't have a dangerous environment in your home. So we learn from Rabbi Nassim that lo yishmerenu, that it says by shor mu'ad, means that it's a very dangerous thing, and a very dangerous thing means lo yikaymenu, that you're not allowed to have it. Meaning, just like when it comes to a kelavra and a sulam ru'ua, because it's dangerous, you're not allowed to have it. So too, when it comes to shor mu'ad, because it's dangerous, you're not allowed to have it. A person is not supposed to say, oh, it's dangerous, but I'll be able to keep an eye on it. No, you're not allowed to have it. That's how Rashi understands our Gemara. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz raises the question, why do I need the v'lo yishmerenu to aser keeping a shor mu'ad? Shouldn't I learn it from lo sasam dam v'esach? I mean, the same reason. The Pasuk didn't say anything about sulam ru'ua. The Pasuk didn't say anything about kelavra. It just said lo sasam dam v'esach. Don't have something dangerous things in your house. And we gave examples of sulam ru'ua, kelavra. So by that same token, shouldn't a shor mu'ad be just another example of a dangerous thing that you can't have? So what do I need v'lo yishmerenu for? I should be able to learn it from lo sasam dam v'esecha. So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz suggests that a shor mu'ad is not as dangerous as a kelavra or a sulam ru'ua, and it's easier to guard and to protect and make sure that it doesn't damage than a kelavra and a sulam ru'ua are. And that's why I need an extra pasuk to expand the category, that it goes beyond the most dangerous things to the next level. And then the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz adds that that's why the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and allow you to keep a shor mu'ad, yet they don't disagree with Rabbi Nassan. Meaning the Chacham agree you're not allowed to have kelavra, the sulam ru'ua, so if they hold you're not allowed to have dangerous things around your house, why are you allowed to have a shor mu'ad around your house according to the Chacham? Why don't the Chacham say that you need to shecht it? Elamites, because a shor mu'ad is less dangerous and a little more guardable. Oh, welcome back. And a little more guardable than a sulam ru'ua and a kelavra. So that's the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Now Tosfos writes that maybe you're going to ask if the base of Rabbi Nassim is derived. That a kisui of a bar does not help. You should be chayiv even if you're mechasa karaui. So why does the Mishnah pater? Meaning by the same reason that you shouldn't have a shor mu'ad around, based on Rabbi Nassim's svar that you can't have anything dangerous around. So maybe a bar is considered something dangerous, and you shouldn't have that around at all. So again, Tosfos gives that same idea that there are different levels of danger, and since a bar can be, and there are different levels of how much something can be guarded. So it's really three levels. You have sulam ru'ua and kelavra, which is the most dangerous thing. Then you have a shor mu'ad, which is slightly less dangerous, could be guarded a little bit more. Then you have kisui, you have a bar, which could be guarded even better when you have a kisui karaui. So hadron lach shor shenagach harba v'chamisha. Now we move on to shor shenagach es hapara. So says the Mishnah, shor shenagach es hapara. If you have a shor tam that gores a para, a pregnant para, and a detail that has to be added, the Meiri adds, and Adim saw the negicha. They didn't see if the para was pregnant still at the time of the negicha, but they did see that this shor was nogeach this para. Because if there were no eidim that saw it, then for sure you're going to be pater on the niskei hapara, because there's a machlokas amarayim that we had earlier, whether meikar adin, a shor tam that's mazik, has to pay nezek shalim. It's just that the Torah has rachmanos and paters you from half of the nezek, and that's how we land on chatzi nezek, or no, meikar adin, a shor tam, should really be pater legamri. And the whole idea that you pay chatzi nezek is a knas, right? That was the discussion, palganiska mamona or palganiska knasa. How do we paskin? The Rambam, the second parak of Niske Mamon, and the Shulchan Aruch Chosh Mishpat, in the very beginning of Chosh Mishpat paskins, palganiska knasa. That we assume that the idea of chatzi nezek is a knas. So mele, if it's a knas, modu b'knas is pater. A person is not mishalim al piatzmo. If a person comes into base and says, oh, my Shor was Naga Chapara. I just have no idea if it was before the Para gave birth or after the Para gave birth. He's Pater because it's a Palganiska. It's a Palganiska Kanasa, and your mother Kanasa is Pater. So the case must be that there were Aiden that saw that the Shor was Naga Chapara. Well, if they're Aiden, why don't we ask the Aiden if it was still pregnant or not? No, the Aiden were Omed Mirachok. They saw it from a distance. That the Shor was Nagach the Para. So they Shor was Nagach the Para, Adam tell us that it was Nagach the Para, and Nimtzu Ubra Betzida. And then there was an Eifel, the fetus had been miscarried by the Para. Ve'en Yadua im Ad Shalom Nagach Yoda, im Ish Nagach Yoda. We don't know if before the Nagicha the Para had given birth to its Ubar, and the Ubar did not die as a result of the Nagicha, or maybe the Para did not give birth before the Nagicha, and it was mapil the uber. It miscarried the fetus as a result of the negicha. This is the way the Gemara in Bava Basra understands the suffix. That according to Shmuel, who holds that ein holchen mamnach harov, and even though rov paros are einon mapilos, meaning what do you mean? I'm not sure if this miscarried or not. This para just went through a trauma, and there's a dead baby next to it. So I'm pretty sure. Meaning much greater likelihood is that it didn't just randomly, at this moment, have a miscarriage, rov paros are not mapilos. Much greater chance is that it's a result of this trauma, of the attack, of the shar. So, but according to Rav, according to Shmuel, rather, that ain't olchen mamunach harov, that's why it's considered a suffix, because yeah, rov are mapilos, but I don't care about the rov. However, according to Rav, who holds that you're olchen mamunach harov, so the Gemara over there explains that the suffix is not whether the para was mapil as a result of the shar. Of course the para was mapil as a result of the shar. That's the rove. It doesn't happen on its own. Of course it was as a result of the shar. But there are two ways that it could happen as a result of the shar. One way is that the para looks up and he sees a shar coming at him, and she sees a shar coming at her, and as she sees the shar coming at her, she gets so frightened that she's mapil, and then the shar hits her. So that's, the shar's not going to have to pay for the vlad, even though it's the shar's fault, but it was the fright, it wasn't the impact. The other way that it could do it is from the impact itself, that it's mapil, and that's our suffix. Whether according to Rav, that ein olchen mamunach harov. So anyway, the bottom line is we have a suffix whether the bala shar is responsible for the vlad as well, or only for the mother. So mishalim chatzi nezek lapara. You have to pay chatzi nezek for the para like a regular shor tam, because we know that the shor tam gored the para, or revia nezek levlad, and you pay a revia nezek on the vlad. Since there's a suffix whether the shor was mazik the ubar also and caused the misa of the ubar, and therefore the bala shor would have to pay chatzi nezek, or maybe the shor did not do anything to the ubar, and therefore the bala shor would pay nothing. So since we're not sure whether it's chatzi nezek or nothing, so mamun multiple suffix cholkin, and therefore you pay revia nezek on the vlad. The achronim raised the kasha that according to the mandiyamer palka niska kenasa the mikra adin a shor tam is really potter. It's just that the Torah made a kenas that you pay chatzi nezek. If Adam didn't see that the vlad was involved, why would you be chayiv? Meaning the whole thing is based on his hoda'ah. So we're vayter at the problem of modu b'knas pater. Meaning we went like this before to explain, like the Mi'iri, that oh, there must have been Adam that saw the negicha. Otherwise, this whole discussion is a moot point because we paskin palganiska kenasa. But bottom line is, if we're mesupak about the vlad, it means that we don't have Adam on the vlad. And if you don't have Adam on the vlad, shouldn't that automatically mean that you're Pater, because Palganiska Knas and Modu B'Knas is Pater. So the Marsha writes, no, that Adam saw that the Shor was Nagach the Para, and there's an Umdana that Minastam, that's why the Para was Mapil the Vlad. And even if the Bala Shor would not be Moda to it, we wouldn't be Mechayiv him based on an Umdana alone, but since there's an Umdana plus the Hodah of the Bala Shor, that's not considered Modu B'Knas. Modu B'Knas is that you come in and you tell us the whole story and we knew nothing without you. But over here, we pretty much knew the story without you. We just didn't have enough to be Mechayiv you. And then on top of that, you have a Hodah. So the Hodah is enough to push it over the top that we're able to be Mechayiv you. A little bit of a funny vart, right? Because your Hodah alone does nothing. Umdana alone does nothing. So you would think 0 plus 0 equals 0, meaning if you don't have enough evidence that to be Mechayev him, you shouldn't be able to be Mechayev him. But that's what the Marashah says. It's not 0 plus 0. It's a half plus a half, meaning it's like, no, it's a very low level of evidence that would not be enough to be Mechayev, plus another very low level of evidence. You put it together, and that's enough to be Mechayev. That is not how Rabbi Akiva Eger understands. Rabbi Akiva Eger on the Mishnayos suggests differently. He says that since as soon as the Edom saw the Negicha Sapara, there was already a Suffolk in Beis Din, that maybe the Parah was Mapil because of the Negicha, and whenever there's a Suffolk, Simchus holds Yer Cholik, so Mele the Chiyuv is not because of the Hoda'ah, it's because of the Suffolk that was Nolad Alpi the Edom. I mean, the Edom told us this happened, and as soon as Beis Din looks at the picture, they're Masupak right away, that maybe it was Mapil Uber. So you don't need the Hoda'ah to bring up the issue over here. So anyway, so that's how you pay Chatzi Nezek on the Parah, because that's just a regular short time, Shanaga Chesapara, and a Revi Nezek on the Vlad, because we were Mesupak about the Chatzi Nezek on the Vlad. And what if it's the reverse? What if the pregnant animal is the Mazik, not the Nizik? V'chein Parah Shanaga Chesashar, if you have a Parah that's Naga Chesar, V'nimtza Vlad Betzida, and then afterwards you find the Vlad of the Parah next to the Parah. Now, a short time, that's Mazik, the Halacha is you have to collect Megufo. Now, what's considered Megufo? Does the Vlad get cheshbin into the Gufo of the Mazik that you can collect from? Well, it depends. If the Parah was still pregnant at the time that it was Mazik, so then you could collect even from the Vlad, because that was part of the Guf of the Parah. But if the Parah was no longer pregnant at the time that it was Mazik, then you're only able to collect the Chatzi Nezek from the Guf of the mother and not from the Guf of the Vlad. Then you do a Mashalonach Yadam Imishnach Yad. The problem is, we don't know if it was pregnant at the time that it did the damage. So Mishtalim Chatzi Nezek Min HaParah or Revia Nezek Min HaVlad. You pay the Chatzi Nezek from the Parah, from the value of the Parah itself, and a Revia Nezek from the value of the Vlad, and the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to say, wait a second, you never pay three quarters Nezek, you're supposed to pay Chatzi Nezek. So how could it be that it's Chatzi Nezek plus a quarter Nezek? That doesn't make any sense. So we're going to have two approaches, Abaye and Rava, at the very end of Amud Beis, going into tomorrow's daf already, about how to understand that last line of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara explains that our Mishnah is assuming like a particular Shita in Tanaim. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, Zo Divrei Sumchus, that our Mishnah is assuming like the Shita of Sumchus, Tav Mamun Amutu B'Safik Cholkin, that Sumchus holds Mamun Amutu B'Safik Cholkin, meaning if Sumchus holds that whenever you have a Safik about Mamun, but there's another caveat over here that the Gemara doesn't spell out, and the Safik is Kayim Belita Anosehem, that without any Tainas, the Safik would exist in Beis Din, right? That's what the Gemara means in Maseches Bava Metzia, that Sumchus is when there's no Drora de Mamona. That's how Tosfos explains. No Drora de Mamona means without any titles, Beis Din could just look at a picture of the scene and they would already have a Suffolk, right? So just by seeing the scene that happened. Because otherwise, if Sumchus were to say Mamon Amut B'Savi Cholkin, even when there is Drora de Mamona, when there's no Drora de Mamona, or even when there's no suffix to Beis Din without the Tainos, then what's to stop a person from going over to his friend and saying, you know, your clothing is mine. What do you mean? I'm wearing it. Yeah, but I tie it, it's mine. Okay, so now Cholkin. Now Beis Din's going to say, it's crazy. It has to be that there's something about what's going on over here that demands psak of a Beis Din, that it's not just a regular, life going on normally where someone just makes such a taina. So, okay, so Mamra Mutubasavi Cholkin, that's Sumchus. So the whole idea that you're going to pay Revia Nezek when I'm not sure about the Vlad, so that's the idea that because I'm not sure about it, we split it. Aval Chachamim Omrim Zek Klal Gadol Badin. But the Chachamim say we have a Klal Gadol Badin, and that is Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya, that whoever wants to extract money from somebody else is going to have to bring a proof that he deserves that money. So in our Mishnah, even though now the Shor is not with the Bailam and he's not Muchzak in the Mamam, he has a Cheskas Marakama. He was the original Bailam of the Shor, and even Keneged that Chazaka, we say Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. So according to the Chachamim, he should be potter to pay for the Vlad, because Amotzi Mechavero Lafaraya. So I asked the Gemara, okay, I get that the Chachamim hold Amotzi Mechavero Lafaraya, but why do they have to be so dramatic about it? You know, Klal Gadol Badin. Lamali the Meimar, Ze Klal Gadol Badin. Is there some halachic import to that, or is that just a way of, just saying things? So, we do have a concept that Dibru Chachamim Belosh lashon guzma, that the chachamim like to speak in emphatic and exaggerated terms sometimes, but usually not in a halachic context. In a halachic context, it must mean something. So what does zeklal gadol b'din actually mean? So it says mar itzrich. It needs to formulate in that way to teach me a chiddush. Ta'afilu nizik omer bari, that even if the nizik says, I know what happened, I know that the par was yalda after the negicha, and the mazik therefore has to pay me for the dmei avlad. And mazik omer shema, the mazik says, look, honestly, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the par was yolda kodem negicha, achara negicha, and afal pikein, the nizik still cannot extract the money from the mazik, even though by the mazik's own admission, he might be obligated to pay. He has no idea. And the nizik seems pretty sure of himself. Still, amotzi mechavera lavrai. We still apply the principle of amotzi mechavera lavrai. So what does it mean? Klal gadol b'din, that it overrides bari v'shema bari. That normally you say Bari Vishama Bari Yadav, the one that comes with the Tainas Bari has a stronger Taina than the one that has a Tainas Shema, but a Motzi Mechavera Lavaraya overrides that. Inami, another way to explain why it's called a Klal Gadol Badin, L'chi Hadi Itmar, in order to teach us that which was said in the following Machlokas. Hamocha Shor L'chaveru V'nimtza Nagchan. A person sells a shor to his friend, and turns out the shor is a Nagchan, and it was that way before the Mechira. And Mela, this is not a shor that you want to use for plowing. The only thing you would really want to use the shor for is for its meat, to shecht it and to eat its meat. Now the lokeach tainas, I wanted to buy a shor to plow with it. And I never said it at the time of the mechira that that's what I was interested in. But rov b'nei adam, when they buy a shor, that's what they're interested in. They're not interested in shechita. So you sold me something that I cannot use. Rav amar areza mekachtos. Rav says, he can tain a mekachtos and get his money back and give the shor back, because rov b'nei adam, when they buy a shor for the sake of charisha. So we follow the rov to be motzi mamon min ha-mocher, even though the mocher is the muchzuk in the money, but we're allowed to be motzi mamon based on that rov. Tosa Rush is calling the shittu betzas. He asks, why according to Rav, why don't we say samuch miyuta l'chazaka, because there's a miyut that are konash farim l'shchita, and say that the miyut is mitzarif to the cheskas mamon of the mocher, say smoke meat to the chazaka, and that should at least make it 50-50. And it's as if we then view it as if half of the world buys shvarim lecharisha and half buy shchita. So he says that Rav holds that any chazaka that's a chazaka that easily changes, like sometimes the lokeach is muchzuk before he paid the mocher, sometimes the mocher is muchzuk after the payment went through. So that's not a chazaka that could be mitztaref to a miyut keneged a rov, and that's why Rav doesn't say that. He just says it's mekach tos. We follow the rov. Rove people buy a shor for the sake of harisha, and if this was sold for the sake of harisha, it's clearly a mekach tos. Shmuel amar yachol shiomer lo. Shmuel says no. The mocher can say to the lokeach, you never said you were buying it for harisha. L'shchita mechartiv lach. I assumed that I was selling you a shor for shchita, and it's a perfectly good shor to use for shchita. Some people buy shor for shchita, and since I'm muchzak in the money, you can't follow the rove who buy l'charisha to take the money away from me. Hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. Ah, and that's the klal gadol b'din, that we always say hamotzi mechaver lavaraya, even if it's negative rove. So klal gadol b'din is either it overrides bari v'sheva bari adif, or according to the sheet of Shmuel and Hilchos Shmuel Bedini, according to the sheet of Shmuel, it overrides the rov. That even though you have a rov of people that buy a shor for the sake of charisha, not for shchita, Amotzi Mechavera Lavaraya overrides that rov. So that's the Gemara, Amai, why is there Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether we follow the rov or we follow the muchzuk? You know, all of those mechanisms of following rov, following muchzuk, is only when we don't know. But if we can clarify what happened over here, then you're supposed to do that. So Benechsi, why don't we just clarify? E Gavra de Zavin L'Radia, is this guy that bought this shor a guy who has a farm and he works on the farm all day, and he needs a shor to plow with? That's his business. So it's obvious that's what he does. So obviously then it's a mekach tos, and the mekach is going to be batel. Or he gavra de zavin l'nichsasa, or he's someone who buys, he's a shochet, right? So whenever he buys a shor, he's a butcher. He buys a shor to butcher. So that's what he's doing it for. So just see who it is. Just see what his profession is. So it says, it's a guy who dabbles in many different businesses. So he's got one business where he runs a farm, another business where he owns a butcher shop. So he dabbles in all sorts of different businesses. A lot of people do that. So so you have a case where it's not so obvious what the context is that he's buying some, you know, that he was buying this shor. So the Gemara says, okay, granted he's a guy that buys for both purposes, but still we should be able to tell what the purpose of this purchase was. V'nechsi, idme radya, the radya, look at the price that he paid for it. If the price was the amount that people would pay for a shor that's used for charisha, which is more expensive than the amount that people would pay for a shor for shechita, so then you could assume that he meant it charisha, and therefore it's a mekach tos. V'idme nechsesa, and if it's the amount that people pay for a shor to shecht, then the nechsesa, then you know that he meant to buy it for shechting, and it's not a mekach tos. So says Mar Lotzricha, da'okir bisra v'kai v'dme radya. No, we're dealing at a time where the market was such that it was the same price. So you can't tell from the price. So you can't tell from the guy, because the guy is someone who buys both. You can't tell from the price. So mainly we have no way of being mevarer. And if you have no way of being mevarer, then you have to figure out, do I follow Chazaka? Do I say Mosim Echaver Lavarai and follow Chazaka? Do I follow Rov? And that's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So Amri, they asked on Rav, when Rav says you follow Rov, and therefore it's a mekach taus, well, if we're talking about a case where the mocher doesn't have any money to return to the lokeach, it turns out that the lokeach will give back the shor, and then he's going to lose all of his money. So, no, what do you do? Lishkalei l'tor bezuzei. What you do is the lokeach will take the shor in lieu of money. Damri yinshi, because people always say, mimari rashvascha pare epara, that from the person that you're owed money from, to take his nechasim, take whatever he has, even if it's subin, even if it's the lowest level of nechasim. So it turns out that both according to Rav and Shmuel, the din is that the lokeach is going to keep the shor in the end of the day. Meaning, according to Rav, he's going to say mekach tos. So the mocher will say, okay, mekach tos. So what do you want, though? I don't have any of the cash. I already gambled it all away last night after you gave it to me. So I have nothing left. So he says, okay, so I'm going to collect stuff from you. I don't have any stuff. The only stuff I have is the shor you just returned to me. Okay, so good. So he's going to collect the shor right back. So it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same result. He's going to either take the shor b'toras piraon, or he's going to keep the shor because the mekach was kayim, so he never gives back the shor, but it's the same result. So it says, Mara lo tzricha, no, the machlokas Rav and Shmuel is the ikal ishtalum himinei, is when he has money, and you're able to collect from the money. Rav Amar is a mekach tos. Rav says that it's a mekach tos, and therefore the lokeach returns the shor to the mocher, and the mocher has to return the money. He refunds the money because zil basaruba, we follow the rov ruba de inchi lerad yehu dezavni, and most people when they buy a shor are doing so for the sake of charisha, in order to plow with the shor. Ushmol amar yachash leyomer lo leshchita mechartiv lach, and Shmuel says, no, you can say to the lokeach, I sold it to you for shchita, even though that's not the rov. V'lo azlin basaruba, we don't follow what rov people buy a shor for, which would be for charisha, and the reason we don't follow the rov is ki azlin basaruba, when do we use rov as a determining factor? That's bisura. That's when it comes to iser v'heter. You have 10 stores, 9 sell basar shchuta, and 1 sells basar nevela, and I find meat, and I don't know which one it comes from. Good, that's what we use rov for. So rov determines that it's kosher meat. Aval b'mamona, lo azlin basaruba. When it comes to dina mamonis, we don't follow rov, we follow a muchsak. We look at who's muchsak in the money, and if anyone wants to take that money, so you're going to have to bring a raya that I in fact owe you that money. So that's after all the klal gadol badin, according to Shmuel, that a motzi mechaver alav raya overrides a rov. So the Gemara brings a brisa that's mefurash, that Sumchus and Lachamim disagree whether we follow rov in dinei mamonos or not, exactly like we're saying right now. Tanya nami achi, we have a brisa that says just like this. Shor shenagach hasapara v'nimtzu ubra betzida. A shor gores a para that was pregnant, and now we find the dead fetus next to the para. The eino yodea im ad shelo nachayolda. We don't know if that miscarriage happened before the negicha, and therefore the uber didn't die as a result of the negicha, so the mazik doesn't owe anything for that. Or the miscarriage happened as a result of the negicha after the negicha. So mishalim chatzin nezek lepara, you pay chatzin nezek for the para like a regular short time. Uruvia nezek levad, and you pay a quarter nezek on the vlad. Divrei sumchus, that's sumchus because sumchus holds mamun amutul b'safek is chalkin. So since there's a safek, but you have to pay chatzin nezek or zero, so you split the difference, so you pay a quarter nezek. But v'chachamam, the chacham disagree with the sumchus, and they say the Baal HaShar has a chazak, because he's the original Bailim on the Mamon. The Baal HaVlad is looking to extract Mamon from the Baal HaShar. Hamotzi mechaveru, lav haraya. If you want to get money from him, you're going to have to bring a raya that his Shar caused this miscarriage. So you see Beferish in the Braisa like Rabbi Dor Shmuel, that our Mishnah is only going like Sumchus, but the Chacham disagree with Sumchus and all that you potter to Mishalim on the Vlad. So far the Gemara has been pretty straightforward, right? We had this Mishnah about splitting the money. And one statement of Yudam or Shmuel that the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Sumchus multiple Savi Cholkin, but the Chachamim would disagree. They would say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, and that's a Klal Gadol B'din. So the Gemara wanted to know what makes it a Klal Gadol. Two possibilities: either it overrides Bari V'Shema, or it overrides Rove, and that's what makes it a Klal Gadol. And the case we gave of where it would override the concept of Rove is the case of selling Ashar, and you don't know whether it was for Shechita or for Harisha. So we said, assuming there are no other ways to clarify, you can't tell by who the Lokech was, you can't tell by the value of the price tag, there are no other ways to clarify, so then we follow Motzi Mechaver, there's Machlokas, whether we follow Rov or we follow Motzi Mechaver Lavaraya, and we Paskin, we follow Motzi Mechaver Lavaraya because it overrides a Rov. So now the Gemara says, what is the Makar of this din of a Motzi Mechaver Lavaraya? Where do we learn this principle, this klal gadol of din called amotzi mechaver olav raya? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Mi bal dvarim yigash aleihem." That someone who has a taina against someone else, he's the one that has to bring a raya for his taina. So yigash means yagish raya aleihem. That if you want to be able to get something from somebody else in Beis Din, you're toveya. Somebody else in Beis Din, you're the one that's gonna have to bring a raya. Oftentimes, I'll get phone calls from people that they want to know what their chances are in Beis Din. If they, you know, is this something that I should bring to a Beis Din? Should I not bring to a Beis Din? First question is always: are you the Toveya or are you the Nitva? Right? Meaning, if someone is being Toveya, you, so they, you know, it's always going to be harder for them to get money from someone. But if you're being Toveya, then that's your only chance. You know, obviously, is to do something about it. But anyway, Maskar Ravashi, so Ravashi challenges. This din of a motzi mechaver olav haraya, why do I need to learn it from a pasuk? Svarahu, isn't it obvious that a motzi mechaver olav haraya dekoiv lekeiva ozel beyasya? If something hurts you, you go to a doctor. So when you're toveya, you have to bring the rayos to take the money away from the motzi. Just like a doctor is not going to be merape a chola until the chola tells him what's wrong and what hurts him. So basin is not just going to, you know, dream up what your problem is and figure out how to get you your money back, unless you go to the Beis Din and you start bringing rayas that this is what I'm owed. So obviously it's a svara that Beis Din's not going to do anything about it until you bring rayas. No, the pasuk is needed for something else. Meaning, motzi mechaver olav haraya is a svara. I don't need a pasuk for motzi mechaver olav haraya. The pasuk is used for something else. Let's say you have a case. Reuven is toveya from Shimon. That Shimon, you owe me money, and Shimon says back to Reuven, "You already took the money, or you have a mashkon of mine, and you've decreased its value by using it and using it and using it, and therefore I don't owe you anything else." So the din is that Beis Din is niskakin tchila to Reuven's taina, and they're motzi the money from Shimon, and then they say, "Okay, now let's assess Shimon's response." Shnemar mi bal dvar migash aleihem yagish dvar aleihem. That the Reuven, who's the Toveya, is called the Baal Dvarim. He's the one that first brought the Taina to Beis Din. So Beis Din first is Motzi the Mammon from Shimon. And then if Shimon brings Edim that Reuven owes him, so then that will contradict the original Pesach. And then Reuven might have to return the money if he has proper evidence. So Amri Nardai, Sometimes we actually listen to the nitba first. Ve'echidami dekazilinichsi. If there are sochrim that want to buy from Shimon for an expensive price, and if he doesn't have it right now, if he doesn't have the stuff that Reuven owes him right now, based on his taina that Reuven owes him, these sochrim are not going to be here anymore, and he's going to lose all this money. He's going to lose an opportunity to sell something at a high price. Or since people see that Beis Din is motzi mamon from Shimon, they're not going to want to buy karka from him. They're going to lowball him on any price they're going to give him. So then we listen to Shimon's taina first, and we're motzi meruvein whatever mashkon he took, in order that Shimon shouldn't lose money. So even though it's true that typically we'll go to the tovea first and we'll take care of his taina first, and then we'll look at the taina of the nitva. But if there's something very pressing where the nitva is going to lose out significantly unless we listen to his taina first about the mashkon, so then we'll listen to him first. So then we said in the Mishnah that if a parah is nagach hashar and you find the vlad bitzida, and you don't know if ad shelo nagcha yolda im misha nagcha yolda, you don't know if it was a pregnant para that damaged this shar, or if it was a para that was that had already given birth that damaged the shar that was not pregnant. And the suffix is, can I collect the Dmei Nezek from the Vlad as well, or only from the mother? So the Mishnah had said, you get Chatzi Nezek from the para, because the para definitely damaged the shar, and you get a Revia Nezek from the Vlad, because I'm not sure if the Vlad was part of the mother at the time that that happened. So the Gemara's simple understanding of the Mishnah is that you're paying three quarters Nezek. So the Gemara says that makes no sense. Chatzi Nezek Urevia Nezek, Palganisku Dubai Shlume. A short time gores. You only chayev Chatzi Nezek. Meaning if a short time damages the short, if a para that was a tama damaged this shor, and the shor was worth $200, and the $200 of damage, so you should only collect $100. You don't collect $150, you collect $100. So what do you mean? Palganiska plus Revia Nezek? Where do we ever find that you're paying three quarters of the Nezek? So there are two approaches. There's Abaye and there's Rava. So Amr Abaye. Abaye says, no, the Mishnah doesn't mean that you receive three quarters Nezek. No. Chatzi Nezek, Echad Me'arba B'Nezek. When it says Chatzi Nezek, it means a quarter of the Nezek. Chatzi Nezek means Chatzi of the Nezek that you would think you're entitled to. Meaning, since you're entitled to Chatzi Nezek, so from the parah itself, you collect half of that. Revia Nezek, Lechon Mishmona B'Nezek. Revia Nezek really means one-eighth of the Nezek. It means half of the Nezek you think you're entitled to. And since it's Mamre Mutl B'Safek, in the first place, you'd only be Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. Plus, it's Mamre Mutl B'Safek, so it would only be half of that. So you get half of that, which is one-eighth of the Nezek. So the Ipara Vlad D'Chad Nihu, if the Para and the Vlad are both owned by the same person. So certainly the Nizik could say Lebal Para to the owner of the Para and the Vlad, that I don't care if your Para was pregnant or not. You owe me Chatzi Nezek, meaning my shor was worth $200, now it's worth zero, so you owe me $100. I pay it however you want. You want to pay me from the Para, from the Vlad, it doesn't bother me. But you owe me $100. Ella lo tzricha, the case of the Mishnah is the Para dechad uvlad dechad. The Para and the Vlad were owned by different people. So what's happening over here? The Bala Para is saying, look, I know we owe you $100. I should be on the hook for 50. And the Bala Vlad, the Bala Para says, I should be on the hook for 50. The Bala Vlad should be on the hook for 50. The Bala Vlad says, I should be on the hook for zero because I don't think my Vlad was involved in this. I think the Vlad was born before this whole thing happened, and the Bala Para should be on the hook for the whole thing. So that's the case where the fellow is only going to end up getting paid $75. He's not going to get his full $100. He's going to get 50 from the Bala Para, and he's going to get 25 from the Bala Vlad. The Ida Kadam Tave. Now, if the Nizik was Tovea, the Bal Para Tchila, he was Tovea first, the Bal Para, Hachinami Damrle. Now, certainly the Nizik could say, the Bal Para, Para didach aziktan. Your para definitely did damage to my shar, and therefore you have to pay me. Now you taina that the Vlad was mishtatef in the negicha as well, and the Bala Vlad also has to pay. Havli raya, dislach shutafi. I don't know of any shutaf. I only know that there's a para that did damage. So kol zman that you don't bring a raya, that you had a shutaf, you're going to be on the hook for the entire chatzi nezek. You're going to have to pay the full $100 to me. Ela dekadim tave lebal vlad tchila. The case in the Mishnah is not only that the para and the vlad were owned by different people, but that the guy went with his taina first to the bal vlad, the amalei, where he says, galisa daitech to shutafi is. So then the Baal Para can say back to the Nizik, you were Megala, that you hold I did have a partner. I don't have to prove to you that I have a partner. You went to him first. You were Megala. You hold that way. And therefore, I should only have to pay you a quarter of the Nezik, not a Chatzi Nezik. What about the other quarter Nezik that you're owed? Go to the Baal Vlad for that. And he will. He'll go to the Baal Vlad for that, and he'll get half of that. Ikadamri, others say the Mishnah is talking about a case, that even if he went to the Baal Para first, Matzi Madchile da Amrlei made a yadi the shutfi isli, that he could still be doch the tviya by saying to the nizik, I know that I have a shutf to this hezek, and that's the Baal of Vlad, that the para was born after the negicha, and since the Baal of para was muchzik in the mamon, and the Baal para also has a cheskas muuberes because it was muuberes before the negicha, so the chazak is that it's muuberes at the time of the negicha as well. Maybe sumchus is going to be moda that a motzi mechaver lavarai in such a case, and the nizik is not able to collect more than a revia nezek from the Baal Para and from the Baal Vlad, who will have to collect a shminis of the nezek. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Rava's understanding of our Mishnah. Everyone have a wonderful day. Have a good day, everyone.